everyone. Welcome back to Moments of Peace. Today, I am with my good friend, Janet. Janet, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's really exciting for me to have you on here. So, because you're a wealth of knowledge, lots of experience. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been homeschooling, your family, stuff like that?
So I've been married 30 years. I have 5 children, and this is my 18th year homeschooling. So my 2 oldest children are twins, and they are both 24 and both married. One of them is pursuing a PhD, and the other one is a stay-at-home mom to 2 beautiful grandchildren. And then I have a 22-year-old college student, a 17, almost 18-year-old senior in high school, and an almost 15-year-old freshman in high school.
A lot going on.
Yes, there's a lot going on all the time.
Yes, which I'm excited to talk about later. Yeah, the balancing of it all. So you also are a leader for NCFCA, which is speech and debate. So can you tell us a little bit more about all things speech and debate?
Sure. So the NCFCA, that stands for National Christian Forensics and Communications Association, which is a mouthful. And I actually lead a local club called Logos NC, and we compete through the NCFCA. So basically, we train high school students how to communicate effectively with integrity and grace, which is the mission statement of the NCFCA. And we help kids to write speeches on topics of their choice and to learn how to debate the yearly topic in a logical way. So the goal, the purpose is really to help them lose any fear of speaking in front of people, to be able to speak confidently, even if they are afraid to speak in front of people, and to think critically. That's really my big goal, is for them to love the Lord and to think critically, because there's so many people in this world who have lost that ability to really use critical thinking when it comes to difficult, abstract topics. And so that's kind of what we do at Logos. We meet in Wake Forest every week. We have a lot of fun, and it's a great time, great ministry.
That's one thing a lot of people like too, is the community aspect of it, because there's so many that are like-minded.
Yeah.
And so what are like the age ranges, and how do the speeches work? Because each child gets to pick their own topic.
Right. So the kids are anywhere from 12 to 18. We do have juniors, younger siblings that can, you know, kind of learn gently how to do some fun things, but the competition age is 12 to 18. And so as far as speeches go, the students are able to pick their own topics, and there are rules that they have to and parameters they have to stay within. For example, they cannot pick a topic that's outside of the mission statement or the beliefs that are stated by the NCFCA. So the beliefs that we have is, and our club holds these beliefs as well. They follow the Nicene Creed. They also have a statement on biblical inerrancy and on marriage and gender. Nice. And so, for example, a student could not do a speech that was pro-abortion or pro-transgender ideology. They can talk about those topics. They can talk about the topics of abortion and transgender ideology. Absolutely. We never discourage students from doing hard topics as long as the message of the speech is in alignment with the mission of the organization. But students do topics of all kinds of topics, topics on sports, topics on culture, politics, music, all kinds of things. So
what do you think is the most beneficial thing now and long-term when they have this skill after pouring in so much time and energy into speech and debate?
Oh, I have students come back all the time and say, this was so beneficial for a variety of reasons. It really translates into all different areas of life. Interviews for jobs. The kids have learned to think quick on their feet. We all have to speak in public at various times, and you don't think that that's going to be you, but there are things that unexpectedly come your way where you have to stand in front of a group. And so I've had students come back and say, oh my goodness, I had to give a speech and I only had 2 days to prepare. And everyone around me was freaking out, except for me, because I'm used to that. and so they were able to do that. My own students, my son called me from college one day. This is the phone call you want to get from college. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, yes. Mom. Because if I hadn't done NCFCA, I would not have been able to correct a pretty big mistake that I made in class today.
Oh, wow.
Where he prepared a presentation on the wrong topic and realized it as the first person was presenting their topic.
Oh, wow.
And so he elbowed the guy next to him and said, "Can I have your textbook?" And looked in the textbook for the topic he was supposed to present on and literally prepared his speech while sitting in class.
Wow.
Presented a 5-minute presentation and got a really good grade. And so it was like one of those moments. And he said, "I never could have done that if I hadn't done NCFCA." So just that's a fun story. But there's lots of benefits from it. A lot of confidence. I would say the biggest thing is gaining in confidence. I can do this.
And overcoming that fear. I heard that people would rather die than have to talk in front of people.
Yeah, there are some studies that say the number one fear, even more than death, for many Americans in particular in the Western world, is public speaking.
Wow.
And so, you know, you get them young, where they haven't learned yet to be that afraid.
Right. And all that self-awareness.
Yeah.
That they have.
And it takes away that mystery, that fear. So.
And then as a leader and one of the moms who judges, because every mother or parent that's involved in it has to then turn around and judge each of the kids, kind of coach them along.
Right.
Even at tournaments and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The parents are very, very involved. Parents attend club meetings. They listen to the speeches and give feedback. They, if they choose, they can listen to the debates and give feedback. And so the parents are learning. I have learned so much in just coaching the kids' speech and debate. They teach me the speeches that they're writing and the ideas that they're presenting. I have learned a tremendous amount. And I think any parent in our organization would tell you the same thing for sure.
That's really neat, because I know I've gone a couple times and I've like hearing your sons and like even just the birth order, like that was really fascinating. And I'm like, oh, wow, I've like have two cycles of different birth orders with so many kids, but it explains a lot. It's very interesting how to that you learn so much by just participating in it. So what are some of the demands when you decide to join, and how would somebody get to join in their local state or chapter?
Well, definitely the first step would be to go to ncfca.org, because that's where you can, there's a button on that website called Find a Club, and you can look to see if there's something local in your area. And if there's not, there's someone on there that you can contact to help you get off the ground. So that would be the first step. And what was the other part of the question? The demands that are involved. So really, you don't have to be in a club to compete. As a matter of fact, the first year that we competed, my children competed, we were not in a club. We just showed up at a tournament. And my son had done the preparation on his own. But we pretty quickly figured out it was easier to do it in a club. But you do not have to be. There are also lots of online clubs that you can find. Lastingimpact.info is a place that has some good online clubs if you can't find a local in-person club in your area. They also have a lot of great speech and debate resources. But really, it's up to you what the demands are. You can attend all the tournaments. You can attend one or two tournaments. It depends what your goals are for your family. In our club, we have specific requirements where if you're going to be a part of our club, you have to attend at least one tournament. You have to write at least one speech, you know, things like that. And so it's not a lot, but most of the people in our club attend most of the tournaments, because once they go, they love it. They fall in love with it. And then they just want to keep going to all the tournaments.
And there is a competitive nature about it.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you keep it balanced? Because these kids are in club together and they're really good friends and they're listening to each other, being challenged by each other, but then they're also very loving and respectful. So how do you find that balance between being competitive, because we're a team, but then we're also not a team?
Right. That's a great question. So one of the reasons I really love this activity, because I did not do this activity in high school, and I can share with you how I got involved, but one of the things I love about it is that the students are competing against one another individually, but they're also rooting for one another. And so there's this bonding that happens that's really special. You don't find it in a lot of arenas where they're there, they're competing, they want to win, of course, but they're also so happy for their fellow competitors if they're doing well. And so it's a really unique kind of competitive environment. So when you go to a tournament, it's about 3 days long. You do a lot of bonding in those 3 days. The kids, especially the parents do too, but the kids really bond with each other. They're praying for one another in the hallways and in the student hangout because they're nervous. You know, you see someone pacing around and the kids are like, are you okay? I'm so nervous. I have to go give my speech in 5 minutes. Well, let me pray for you. And there's an environment, and we do this intentionally. We intentionally, at least I try to do this in my club, intentionally try to create an environment where we are all about honoring the Lord. We are all about edifying one another, encouraging one another. It's not that, you know, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to win. Although there's nothing wrong with winning. I tell right. the kids all the time, there's nothing wrong with winning. The competition aspect is really what motivates the kids to strive for excellence.
Right.
And many of them achieve that in various ways, not just by winning, but they definitely sharpen one another, and it's just very bonding and a sweet, sweet community that forms as a result of that kind of competitive environment.
So how did you get involved with NCFCA?
Yeah, so I was a sports girl. So I did all the sports when I was in school, and the idea of doing, you know, speech and debate was like, But I did teach high school. I taught high school for 5 years before I had kids in Massachusetts. And I really enjoyed that, but I retired to my better job, which was to be a home stay-at-home mom. And so I was up in Massachusetts living with my husband, and I had 5 little kids at home. And when the twins were 10, I got an email that said, would you like to come? And it was just a general email, not just to me, just a general email. We're having a speech and debate tournament at this local college, happened to be my alma mater. Yeah. And we'd like for some adults from the community to come and hear some speeches and judge some debate rounds on a Saturday. And I thought, well, that sounds intriguing. Having taught high school, I knew how students did not like to get up in front of the class and speak. And so I was intrigued that there was this group of high schoolers doing this competitively. And I thought, I'd kind of like to go see that. Mm-hmm. And so on a Saturday, I drove over to the college and walked in, had no idea what I was doing. And they took great care of me. And they do this at tournaments still. If you're a community judge, you just walk in cold. And they'll just scoop you up and tell you what to do and where to go. And they have you watch this little video on how to watch a speech and how to fill out the ballot. And really, it's just if you have an opinion, you can be a judge. And so I'm like, well, I have an opinion. I can listen to some speeches and tell you which one I like the best. And so I went into this room and I heard these speeches and I was blown away, absolutely blown away by what these high school students were doing. And I had taught honors level students, and I had never seen students like this. And I knew that these weren't like, I don't know how I knew this. I think just because I knew, I've been teaching high school students my whole life. These are not superstars. Like, these are just your average kids, but they're doing something hard and they're doing it well. Mm-hmm. And wow, they can do this. So I was super intrigued. I came back and I judged another category of speeches. The next year they had another event, and I went back the next year and brought a friend. I said, you got to come see this. You're not going to believe this. And that year I judged a debate, and I was totally out of my element. I went, I don't know what I'm doing in this room. I don't know what's going on with debate. But it exposed me to it. But after that, I went home and said to Trevor, my husband, I said, our kids are going to do this someday. Lord willing, this is what I want our kids to do, because this is worthwhile. This is a worthwhile use of their time and their education. So they were 10 at the time. At that time, you had to be 13 to compete. And we weren't able to join. There were no clubs at all where we were in Massachusetts. It wasn't until we moved to North Carolina that we were able to find a local club and join up when they were, I guess it wasn't until they were 16 that we ended up finding a club here to join and started competing. And we have never looked back. After that first season, I was completely, my kids and I were completely hooked. We're like, this is where it's at. It's funny how the Lord assigns us each our little area of ministry. Like, the Lord has assigned you this arena, you know, to glorify Him and get the word out. And I feel like He very much gave me this assignment. Like, this is, you know, I had the ability to teach high school students. I'd been doing it for years. My kids were hooked on this activity, and it was far. The club we had joined was quite far, and I said, I would like to do something in our area. And so, and I'm you know, I'm not shy to get things started. I'm like, if I could just get a few people to join me, we could get something started in our area right. and do this. And of course, it ended up being our vision is much different than God's vision was bigger than mine was. And so I invited people to join us, and we ended up with, I think it was over 40 kids the first year. Wow. In our club, which I was not expecting.
That's a great way to start out. It was. That's like a church plant.
It kind of blew my mind. There was clearly a need in this area for something like this. And parents were very interested in this kind of activity for their kids. And so we're in our eighth year now of this particular club, Logos Club. And it's been going well. And I'm very blessed to have God have given me this little tiny corner to minister in. Right. And I love it. So grateful.
And now you're growing even more because now you're training up people in like 15, 20 minutes south from where you guys meet weekly.
Yes.
Right?
Veritas. Yeah. Yeah. We have had a wait list the past couple years to get into Logos. And unfortunately, we have a wonderful facility, but it's not big enough for what we need. And so rather than just keep a wait list, we did help to plant a new club this year in North Raleigh. And so we have some very brave mamas who are very interested in this activity, but have never done it. So our club, Logos, is coming alongside this new club, Veritas, to help get them off the ground.
And so doing great. Love that too, because that's even like a biblical model of like, this is here, we're here for this. This is like our DNA. Because I know a lot of people in that club wanted you because they're like, I can trust her with my kids, you know, and that stewardship of their hearts, their minds being trained, and just the character. Mm-hmm. So what about the mom who's like, well, this sounds great. I want to do it, but I feel totally inadequate. Like, what skills do I need to be a part of it? How, like, can you kind of dispel some of that?
Yeah, sure. So I can say this 100%, every single mother, including me, feels inadequate to do this. I mean, I'm not some great, brilliant person. I didn't know a thing about, especially debate, a little bit about speech because I was an English teacher, but even that, you know, not much. So I was learning, it's kind of like homeschooling. I was learning right along with my kids. I'm sure you've had this experience, right? I did not learn history in school.
Right.
I learned it when I started homeschooling my kids, right?
Yes.
Same exact principle with this. You do not have to go in being brilliant, knowing anything about logic or debate. You just go in with a willing heart and a lot of prayer.
Right.
And God equips us for what he's called us to. I mean, he is faithful. He's been faithful to me. And so people will sometimes come to me and be like, oh, you're like this debate person. And I'm like, I still, even after 8 years coaching it, I'm like, I don't feel that way at all.
Right.
Every year when there's a new resolution, I have no idea what they're talking about. And I have to learn along with the kids. And so I would say for parents nervous about it, to just don't be afraid, you know? For the sake of your kids, if you feel like this is something the Lord wants them to do, jump in. We always help our parents to know how to give feedback, know the kinds of things to say. And so you're not just left alone and everyone expects you to be smart.
Right.
You know? We really like to the point where we've handed out papers that said, here are some actual comments that you can put on a ballot for somebody's speech. And we've had a lot of parents say, oh, thank you. Cause I just feel so that a lot of people very inadequate to be able to give what they feel like is helpful feedback to the students. So.
Yeah. Thank you so much for telling us all about NCFCA. Yeah. It's a wonderful community. It's a wonderful way to get logic and critical thinking, which I've heard John MacArthur say, there's two things our culture like lacks, and mm-hmm. that is discernment and critical thinking.
Yeah.
And that is the two things I think that speech and debate definitely brings to the forefront for these kids. They learn to stop and think critically and they're
not afraid. It helps for sure. It definitely helps. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Sure. You're welcome.